was that Gilbert would receive the original downtown jail site in return for providing funding to continue the project at a new location on Detroit's east side, and that Bedrock would manage the construction of the facility. This arrangement underscores the way that environmental and criminal justice have become entangled in the new Wayne County Criminal Justice Center. It's being funded in part by a private investor, Gilbert, who has been charged with gentrifying Detroit, the blackest large city in America, and displacing residents in the process, as apartment buildings across the city were forcibly vacated for redevelopment. Never before has a private entity held so much influence in a major American city as Rock Ventures holds in Detroit, Business Insider declared in 2018, and no one in the private sector is as powerful as Gilbert. According to city officials, the jail will save taxpayers money in the long run and is needed to improve safety for those incarcerated. The new complex will replace three existing prison facilities that are spread across the city, a setup that requires inmates to be transported from the jail to courtroom for every legal appearance. The new centralized Wayne County Jail will have a court on site so that those awaiting trial will walk to court rather than being driven. From the consolidation of the buildings and the resulting decrease in building maintenance and staffing costs, the new jail is expected to save taxpayers $10 million to $20 million annually. Environmental justice organizers argue the money could be better spent elsewhere. Instead of putting forward hundreds of millions of dollars into prisons, we should be putting hundreds of millions of dollars into schools, said Michelle Martinez, executive director of the nonprofit Michigan Environmental Justice Coalition. Detroit's public schools are notorious for environmental health hazards like periodically unsafe drinking water, as well as mold and heating and cooling issues. A new distribution utility plant will also be built to service the new jail, another $35 million the county will pay for. Detroit residents, community leaders, and environmentalists have raised concerns about the new location of the jail since its announcement, citing its proximity to a hotbed of industrial pollution, taxpayers taking on additional debt to finance the jail, and the inconvenience for visitors and criminal justice officials since the district court will still be located downtown. Despite multiple interviews, requests to the Wayne County Executive Office and Wayne County Commissioners, no one from the county was able to confirm whether or not an environmental impact statement or assessment was conducted before building the jail.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
You're listening to Muslim Lady, and throughout these last few episodes, we've been talking about the importance and examples of self-care within Islamic traditions and the lifestyle of our most beloved Prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sister Razia, you've been highlighting a few aspects of Rasulullah's life to give us a better idea of how His Eminence practiced self-care, how it resulted into better achievements and a better state of being, basically, in himself and his companions, how it should look like in the life of a practicing Muslim and whatnot. So basically, so far, three or four points that you've mentioned. Number one, an important principle we have to consider when if we want to practice self-care, which at this point I think it's been a proven fact that we have to practice self-care, is time management. The Quran basically tells us straightforward, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's constantly numerous ahadith, him and the Ahlul Bayt talk about dividing your time and allocating one portion to one aspect of your life. And then the second one was, of course, mindfulness, and the Quran just it's like such a repetitive theme in the noble Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly encouraging us to be mindful of our existence, of our fate, of our actions, of our relation with God, of our relation with ourselves, our relation with the Prophet, our relation with the world, everything. Mindfulness.
About mindfulness, I just remembered this hadith that it says, if you give one glass of water to your husband, so much reward is counted for you in just giving one glass of water. And then when you concentrate on it, it just brings the idea of mindfulness.
Right.
Because why is there so much reward in serving your husband, in you know, serving one like cup of tea or coffee or water to your husband? It's because of the importance of family. Or when it says that if the man is helping his wife in the house with the household chores, and it's like 1,000 days of worship, and you know, going to Hajj and freeing slaves, and so much reward. Why? It's again mindfulness,
exactly,
that I am doing this to please my spouse so that my relationship would be better with
and
my husband.
And strengthen the foundation of my family.
Exactly. This is mindfulness.
Exactly. And as Muslim ladies, I feel that it's really important for us to, you know, I mean, it's a bunch of stuff that we already know, but in the chaos of everyday life, it kind of just, you know, drifts into the margins of our minds and becomes almost invisible. Especially mom with kids. Moms with kids, it's so important for them to have time management, mindfulness, for them not to think of this as a chore, for them to actually believe with every iota of their existence that I am training an Abdullah, a servant of Allah. This is so huge, right? And so the other aspect, that the third point that you made was...
The third point was self-care and family.
Right,
family
right,
time,
right.
Right? Qualitative family time with your spouse. The fourth one was taking a short day nap. Right?
Moms need this so much.
They definitely need it. Once this Bedouin came to the Prophet, and he said, lately I've become forgetful. The Prophet told him, were you in the habit of taking naps and you're no longer doing it? He said, yes. He said, go back to your routine and you will get your regain your memory.
That is so adorable.
So, you know, it happens a lot to moms and to women that they become forgetful,
right? Yes.
There's like so much on their minds.
Exactly.
So when you take this short nap, it doesn't have, you know, sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be sleeping.
Just
even relaxation.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I feel like now we've given a step. We also need to, like, complement it with a solution, because oftentimes during those hours of the day, the husband's at work still. Who's she gonna leave the babies with?
Yeah.
Either put them to sleep as well, and babies, they get cranky if they don't nap.
I know, exactly.
Right? So it's important for the children, their time to be managed precisely. Wake up early in the morning, play their hearts out, get really tired midday, eat, have a light shower, and then fall asleep. Mom gets to chill, baby gets to nap. An hour and a half later, they wake up, they have their fruits.
Exactly.
Daddy comes home, quality time, baby goes to bed, mom and dad chill.
That was a perfect planning and scheduling. This is what we meant by time management, right?
Exactly.
And I've seen very successful moms. I remember one of my sister's friend, she had this whiteboard, and she had this little child, maybe she was like 3 or 4, but she had written down in the form of pictures the daily routine of her son. One by one, he would see it himself, mm-hmm. and he would learn that from this time, from very, very young years in his childhood, he had to have a program mm-hmm. and plans. So he woke up like at 6 in the morning, right? Mm. And then he had like reading time, playing time with mom, going out for a walk, snack time, taking a nap, waking up, having lunch, again, you know, some other activities in the afternoon. And at 6 in the afternoon, he was gone. He was fast asleep. Seriously, from 6 p.m. until 11, mom had how many hours of mom time?
It's like 5-6 hours.
Exactly.
We're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
When you have like your mom and dad, or like your uncle and aunts, or like your brother and sister around, like the baby, you want to put the baby to sleep, and then your brother comes up, or your sister comes around, or your friend
comes.
We're
having popcorn and movies.
Exactly.
Oh, let's go to the park.
Exactly. Or I so miss my niece and nephew. Yeah. I want to see them. So they destroy your routine.
But I feel that there also has to be a balance. The child shouldn't feel like he's being raised in a boot camp, right?
Yeah.
That this is like fun time with mommy, you know, hype them up. Oh, it's walking time. Let's go on a walk.
Exactly.
And for the child not to feel
definitely.
Like, Ma, you're controlling me, stop. And, you know, I think that's the importance of marrying at an early age, too. Because her first child, she had it in her early 20s, supposedly 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
If she waits 5 years, mm-hmm. by the time this kid goes to preschool, she's just 26, 27, her second child, she still has a lot of energy for the second child. She can still partially carry out a lot of this routine with them because the first one's already off to school. She hasn't missed out on life either.
Yeah.
So it is doable, but it requires a whole lot of planning beforehand.
Yeah, planning, determination, willpower, energy, support from your spouse, from your family and everything. The fifth point or tip that we can learn from the Prophet, and this is handy for men and women, mm-hmm. because the Prophet recommended it for both men and women. And actually, one of the reasons he recommended it for women, let me say the reason beforehand, he said he mentioned 14 benefits of this tip, one of which is that your wife, she would love you more as she's when you do this act, which is using dyeing your hair. And, you know, of course, they did.
They do it with henna.
Henna and indigo.
Indigo. Interesting. What a beautiful color that would have been.
Yeah. The Prophet, for dyeing hair, he talked about different colors. Yellow, orangish red, black. So he had, like, three different colors. He liked yellow, but... he said the most beloved color in the eyes of Allah is black, mm-hmm. right? Which I think you can get it from indigo.
Beautiful.
Indigo gives you a very dark color, right?
Mm.
And there are so many. In one hadith, he mentioned 14 benefits of using henna. Let me read them for you. First of all, you apply the henna after deplicating your excessive hair. So there's a process. It's not like you 2 minute shower,
slap some henna on your head,
you know, out of the shower, gone. No, this is not. Actually, it's a self-care process.
Routine, beauty routine.
Right. It's like a bath thing, you know. They had, in the old days, they had the public bath. My mom says that we used to go with my grandma and with my mom to the public bath. Like, I'm talking about 60 years ago.
Uh-huh.
When my grandma was very small.
Dude, how old is your mom?
My mom is about 60.
Yeah.
So she says, in the old days, going to the bathhouse was an activity for women.
Mm.
Because we used to take our food, our lunch with us. We used to take our snacks. They went and they got massages. The use of henna has to be after the applicatory stage, where you remove the excess hair of your body and then you apply the henna.
Mm.
And in it, there are 14 different benefits.
To any part of your body, won't you turn orange?
No, you have to wash it quickly.
Okay.
You don't let it stay for a really long time.
Okay.
So, number one, and also you can even put it on your skin.
Mm, on your face?
On your face, yeah.
Interesting.
It empties air from your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sometimes
your ear pops.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. When you go on the plane,
yeah,
you feel this.
My right ear hasn't popped in like 15 years.
So you have to use henna?
Okay.
Number two, it removes the bad mouth odor.
Mm. Who would have thought?
Yeah. So, you know, some people don't have, there are two things here. Sometimes people have neutral mouth odor, and then the henna gives it a pleasant odor.
Right.
Sometimes people have a bad mouth odor. It removes the bad odor.
Right.
So there are two different things, right?
Okay.
So this is the third one. Fourth, it moisturizes the nostrils.
Right. Which is super important.
It's very important, especially for us. Now the winter is also approaching.
And it's crazy.
And we really need it. Five, enrages the foe, your enemies.
Because you look fabulous.
Exactly.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. If you want to know more about the many benefits of henna and other steps and tips regarding Islamic self-care, make sure to tune in to further episodes of the show. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought. our dear friends, and let us ponder on a maxim on faith in Almighty from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. Fear God and say the truth, even if it will cause you to perish, for your salvation lies in telling the truth. Fear God and leave the wrong, even if it will save you, for your perdition lies in telling the wrong.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Light.
Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Pasha Petkund came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Pasha thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degrees, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degrees is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
Does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkund works as a Hollywood stunt double. Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues, as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. But a young Spanish designer is dedicating his time to the cause of recycling plastic waste. 28-year-old Humberto Les quit his job last year to focus full-time on his environmental efforts. He collects trash from the coast of his home island of Gran Canaria. Humberto usually picks up an average of 5 kilos from the shore at a time. After he is done compiling, he processes the material and turns it into pieces of furniture. Humberto's aim is to make the task of recycling plastic economically justifiable, that is.
I decided to leave my job, stability, to come back here to develop a project to clean the coastline by designing furniture, because I realized that the coast could not be cleaned in an altruistic manner. So I found a way to give economic value to the waste found in the coast.
Humberto is making products ranging from clothes hangers to stools, but he also wants to create larger products with a longer lifespan in the future. According to the UN Environment Program, only 9% of all plastic waste produced throughout history has ever been reprocessed. Around 80% of it remains accumulated in dumps, landfills, or nature.
The floating concert venue has entertained music lovers in London.
Thank you.
renowned pianist Masayuki Tayama and his partner started a project to play on a canal boat traversing the city's waterways 2 months ago. Since then, they have performed 9 concerts, and their upcoming performances are already sold out in months ahead. The couple came up with the idea after living on a narrow boat with a digital piano.
This is the Piano Boat, which is the only canal boat of its kind. It was built to our specifications as a floating concert venue. So we have a brand new Steinway grand piano, and here we give musical experiences for people on the canals.
The artists believe the experience is very different from playing in regular concert halls. They say recitals on the boat create a unique interaction with the audience and it feels friendlier. Small fairy pigeon Vader has interrupted a cricket match in Ireland. A playful puppy ran into the field of a semi-final match and caught the ball. The scene caused laughter amongst those present. After a few minutes of chasing the dog, players managed to get the ball back. The funny video has gone viral on the internet.
A caiman and a local tour guide in Bolivia's Amazon region have formed an unlikely friendship with Bond going viral on the internet. Although people are warned to stay away from caimans, Alejandro Gil has struck up a friendship with one special reptile named Jesus. Despite the caiman's carnivorous nature, it shakes his tail and allows Gil to pat it on the head after being fed. At 4 meters long, Gil, however, admits that getting close to Jesus does still make him nervous.
My knees shake when I work with Jesus. I'm always scared and very careful, and also respectful to tourists. Guides in the Pampa de Yacuma and across Bolivia consult with tourists before undertaking an activity. If they agree with it, then we do it. If one person is not in agreement with an activity, then we don't do it.
Gil says they are only able to get in touch with a caiman in a dry season when the river is at low water levels. They lose the reptile in January when the river rises. Caimans inhabit Mexico, Central and Northern South America, from marshes and swamps to mangrove rivers and lakes. Their diet consists of a great deal of fish, but caimans also hunt insects, birds, and small mammals and reptiles. A new initiative has been launched to turn the spotlight on the misery of Syrian refugee children. Little Amal, a giant puppet depicting a young Syrian refugee child, has arrived in St. Peter's Square in Vatican City. This 3.5 meter tall puppet has traveled all the way from Syria to Turkey, Greece, and Italy. It will then go to France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, and the UK to focus attention and the urgent needs of young refugees. Syrian refugees, especially children, are in a dire situation after being driven from their homes due to the conflict in their country. Archaeologists have discovered the largest ever bronze mask in an archaeological site in China's southwest Sichuan province.
This is a large bronze mask we unearthed from the central park of the number 3 ritual pit. The widest part, from one tip of ear to the other, is 136 centimeters, and the height is around 75 centimeters. It can be regarded as the largest bronze mask unearthed in Sanjingdui, and even the largest in the Shang and the Shu dynasties.
The mask was found together with other cultural objects, such as ivory and bronze ware. These items needed to be removed first before handling the mask, which made the extraction process complicated. Restoration work is underway on the largest bronze mask taken from the site. The relic is believed to be thousands of years old, dating back to the Shu period. The site is an archaeological treasure mine belonging to the Bronze Age of over 4,000 years ago. The area was first discovered in China in the late 1920s.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An Australian zoo has welcomed two baby bilbies, an endangered species. Their birth has brought joy and hope to zookeepers and wildlife enthusiasts. The baby bilbies were born in Taronga Zoo in Western Sydney. Zookeepers named the two male joeys, Molly and Cliff, after a national park that once was home to herds of this animal. The birth of the joeys has raised hope among the zookeepers of reintroducing the species to the wild. Bilbies were once found across 70% of Australia's landmass. They are believed to have inhabited Australia for up to 15 million years.
Chameleons changing color is one of the most fascinating traits amongst living creatures. Now, can't humans make a robot with the same capability? In a science lab in Seoul, a team of engineers have created a robot that mimics the color-changing ability of the famous lizard. The researchers have made the skin with a special ink that changes color based on temperature and is controlled by tiny flexible heaters. The head engineer says creating a wearable device that can actively change color and patterns was the main goal of the study.
The pattern of South Korea's military uniform is made for woodland and certain colors. So if you wear this military uniform and go to the desert, you can be easily exposed. Actively changing colors and patterns to match different surroundings is the key of camouflage technology, and we made this possible.
The total thickness of the flexible, multi-layered artificial skin is thinner than a human hair. The scientists envision that their research can be adapted for military uniforms to help soldiers blend into their surroundings. It can also be used for aesthetic purposes such as fashion, exterior of cars and buildings, as well as future display technology.
Visitors and staff of a French zoo have been amazed by the surprise birth of two African lion cubs. The babies, a boy and a girl, were born 2 weeks ago in Amnival Zoo. Their birth was unexpected due to their father's advanced age of 17. The cubs will live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. According to zookeepers, they are currently in good health. The Amnival Zoo has asked people on social media to name the newborns. The German capital Berlin turns colorful as the annual mural festival has brought artists together to display their works around the city. Artists have instilled new life into neighborhoods with giant murals that attracted hundreds of visitors. This year's event was resumed under the motto Home Street Home after its 2020 edition was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Organizers say the paintings invite people to discover the city as a gigantic open-air gallery.
The Italian city of Venice has held its annual historical regatta festival, attracting hundreds of spectators. People wearing costumes rowed their colorful boats and gondolas through the city's Grand Canal. The participants reenacted the city's history by carrying people dressed up as the King of Venice and his wife, up the canal. Some of the riders also put their strength to the test by racing each other throughout the day. The regatta dates back to the 13th century and has been held every year in September.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up canals, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine Mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, peace and salutations of Almighty Allah be upon all of you. Dear friend, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Today we're going to speak about gifts for the deceased.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا يا الله يا منان حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا Grateful today for difference and change for all colors and shades Cause you made it this way وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا
Today, Thursday, is the 9th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this time, we'll listen to two verses of chapter Al-Imran, verses 169 to
170. قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ
And never think of those who have been killed in the cause of Allah as dead. Rather, they are alive with their Lord, receiving provision.
فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ
Rejoicing in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and they receive good tidings about those to be martyred after them who have not yet joined them. That there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These verses were revealed after the incident of Uhud, but its meaning and its content is general, so that it involves all the martyrs of Uhud. The purpose of life here is the very purgatorial life which souls have in the world after death. This does not belong to only the martyrs, but in view of the fact that martyrs are so involved in the merits of the spiritual life that as if the life of their people in the intermediate state is rather slight in comparison with it, so only they are named.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
We are speaking about gifts for the deceased. The simplest deed one can perform for the dead is to ask forgiveness for their sins. Recitation of chapter Fatiha or chapter Yasin, charity, two rak'at prayer in their name are all wonderful actions to perform for the dead. If we are aware of their missed prayers or fasts, we should try our best to perform them on their behalf and relieve them of their painful burden. Sometimes it is noticed that when people experience death in the family, they become so engulfed in their grief of separation that they become unmindful of the pain their loved one is going through.
during those times, we must seek God's help to overcome our emotions and do our best to provide relief to our loved one from the terrifying effects of the grave. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to send gifts to the deceased. It's also indicated in reliable hadiths that the souls of all believers on every Friday come to the homes of the relatives and request them to do something good to them. This is done. This can be done by means of paying alms in the favor, or for example offering prayers, reciting the Holy Quran, and so on. According to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever pays alms in favor of the soul of a deceased person, there's an angel who takes that alm. Like a tray of light, a light tray, and takes it to the tomb of the deceased person, and takes it inside the tomb of the deceased person. According to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the religious reward of doing good in favor of a deceased person is recorded both for the performer of that good deed and also for the late person in whose favor that good has been done.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special, and we have a story here entitled My Mother is Unhappy with Me. It has been related in some books that a believer spent the night in a graveyard. In the middle of the night, he saw a group of people emerging out of the graves with a shining light and a plate full of various blessings. Only one dead man didn't come out of his grave and remained in its darkness full of remorse. The believer went to him and asked him why he was not blessed as the others. The dead man replied that all the others had relatives who sent them gifts. He had an old mother, but she had been unhappy with him and didn't give him a thought. The dead man asked the believer to greet his mother for him and told him where she lived. In the morning, the believer went to the old woman and related what he had seen. The old woman wept bitterly and gave a bag to be distributed to the poor as charity on her son's behalf.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I, when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies, as I don't need anyone.
Here, there is advice for every Muslim losing a loved one, and that is dua or supplications. Duas or supplications are the biggest weapons of a firm believer of Islam, and they are unquestionable. While the believer is still alive, he or she makes duas for our well-being. And now the
that he or she has gone to the afterlife, the person relies on our dua since he or she desperately needs them now. Many of us have forgotten the significance of making du'as by thinking that making the du'a is all there is to do, when in reality, du'as are our strongest assets, to the point that they can possibly alter the decree of Allah to turn out to be another decree. With this mentality, people tend to get occupied with other acts, thinking that these acts will profit the dead. But they do not. The little things we do can truly be big in the eyes of Allah. Make du'as for the forgiveness of the loved ones, especially the children, to their parents.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul mawt wa ilayna turja'un. Surah Al-Kahf, the cave. Every soul shall taste death, and to us he shall return. What was the tafsir of this ayah given by the angel Jibra'il to Rasulullah? Jibra'il came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, atuhib an ukhbiraka bitafsiriha? Ya Rasulullah, would you like for me to give you the tafsir of this ayah? Rasulullah says, Na'am, ya Habibi, ya Jibra'il. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, when the last person who's alive on the face of this earth dies, Allah says to the angel Azra'il, the angel of death, he says, Ya Azra'il, go to the residence of the first heaven and take away their lives. So Azrael goes to the residence of the first heaven. He takes away their lives. The residence of the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. Then Azrael comes to Allah Jalla Jalaluh and he says to him, Ya Rabbah, only the residence of the seventh heaven. Who are the residents of the seventh heaven? Azrael, Mikael, Jibra'il, and Israfil. Those four grand angels. So Allah says, go take the life of Azrael, of Mikael, then Israfil, then Jibra'il. So when he takes the life of Jibra'il, he returns. And the hadith says, مُطَئِطِئَنَ رَأْسَهُ, putting his head down. Allah says, Ya Azrael, for so long you've been taking the lives of others. You've taken away the life of 124,000 prophets. Even Azrael doesn't live. Ya Malak al-Mawti Mut. Oh, the angel of death died. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لمن الملك اليوم. Who does it belong to today? Is there a king or a queen or an emperor or a millionaire to respond? No. لمن الملك اليوم. And Allah responds himself. And this conversation is already recorded in the Quran. لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد belongs to Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.